Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Wow. Thursday. We are flying through this week.
We are flying through this week.
And it's feeling super fast because we just did the men's conference, and that's so much just like work and prayer and anticipation and like lots of stuff leading up to it.
Yeah.
So now this week's just flying by.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it. Easter and Good Friday is right around the corner.
That's right.
Let's go.
And it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, yesterday we got into a really interesting conversation at the end of the Wednesday episode. So if you didn't listen to it, you can go to our website or go to our podcast page, and you can actually listen to this whole broadcast there. Yeah. I would encourage you to do that. But we were talking about this idea, Pastor Luke, that you brought up. You heard from somebody talking about how self-discipline is the greatest form of self-love. What you said or something to that effect?
Yeah.
And we were talking about the idea of maybe like if your boss tells you to do something, you do it. But if you tell yourself to do something, you might not do it. Yeah. Is that because you respect your boss more than you respect yourself? We're kind of getting into this whole idea. And I think a big thing that plays into that, and I'm going to connect this to being lukewarm here in just a second, but a big thing that plays into that is that if I don't do something that my boss tells me to do, there is an immediate consequence.
Yes.
There is an immediate response. Like, I'm called in to a meeting. Like, I get scolded from the boss. I could lose my job. I could lose my paycheck. I could get docked pay.
Yep.
Right? Like, there's an immediate response when I don't respond to what my boss tells me to do.
You got to stay late and do it.
Right. You lose hours.
Yeah.
You lose daylight. But when I don't do things that maybe that I tell myself to do, sometimes there's not an immediate response. Hmm. If I don't go to the gym tonight, when I wake up tomorrow, my muscles aren't going to just be like shrunk down.
Yeah.
But if I don't go to the gym every day for a few months, I might start notice when I go to pick up something heavy, it gets a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I might know when I go to try to run down the block, I'm breathing really heavy when it was easy to do that before.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a slow fade. And that's how it is when I think when I think about being lukewarm for the things of God, it's this slow fade so often. And I think that's why it's so easy for us to fall into this. And it's something we need to work really hard at to stay on fire for Jesus.
There's a song that was out when I was a teenager growing up. I don't know if the band was Mercy Me or Casting Crowns, but the song, I think it's called Slow Fade.
Yeah, it's a Casting Crowns song. My dad used to listen to it a lot.
Yeah. It's cool. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Is that you nailed it. Is a lot of times we don't have self-discipline because we don't feel the immediate consequences. But this is a slow fade. And we stop picking up our Bible. We stop going to church. We stop worshiping God. We stop praying. We don't feel we don't feel it immediately.
Right.
But 2, 3, 4 months later, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am. I'm not on fire for God anymore.
Man.
Let's go to the message.
You know, there's two churches of the seven churches that Jesus had no rebuke for. The one church, Smyrna, that was just terribly persecuted, and the Lord spoke comforting, reassuring words to them. It wasn't time for a rebuke at all because they were just in such suffering for their faith in Christ, the church of Smyrna. And the other one is the Philadelphia church. And what made them a church without any type of rebuke? Because I'm sure as the Lord looked down upon that church, because it's filled with people, you know, he could have found something to correct, right? He can find something to correct about us for sure, no doubt about that. But he had no words of correction for the Philadelphia church because they had such a huge commitment to sound forth the gospel. That's why I want to be that Philadelphia church, to have such a huge commitment to let people know Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. There would be a church full of passion for him and passion to spread the gospel and to share our faith. Lukewarm. It's like kissing your sister. One of my staff members said, don't say that. Say it's more like kissing your cousin. That's, you know. Well, that would be true too. It's like kissing your cousin. The counsel of Jesus Christ in verses 18 to 20, it reads as follows. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Isn't that interesting? You're truly rich when you have the faith like gold that is tested. It's the real deal. White garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door. Open up your door and let me come in. That's his counsel to them. And can we just take these words and say, okay, Lord, you're speaking to me today. That's your counsel to me. The first thing is buy from me gold tried in the fire. Now, we can't purchase anything with money. We can't earn or deserve anything. But it's the idea of, oh, Lord, this is what I want. I'm purchasing it by my desire and my faith in you. To buy gold tried in the fire. Faith is a virtue that is tested by fire. Job said, I know when he tests me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold that's been tried in the fire is purified gold, right? It's refined. It's gone through the challenge, and it has believed God, and the dross has been just refined off of it, and it shines brightly. Well, Jesus is talking to this church. He says, you know, you got the wealth of literal gold and silver, but I want you to get to the spiritual wealth of a genuine faith that is enduring as it goes through trials and tests and keeps on believing even through challenging times. That's when you know you're rich. When you have the real thing that can believe God in great trial and test and hold fast the confidence of your faith and hold fast the promise of God and hold fast your love for the Lord. If you've got that, you've got the real thing. It is valuable in the sight of God. You ever know of somebody that they go through a trial and their faith just dries up? Their love for God just dries up. There's no persevering. There's no enduring. They get filled with anger or bitterness because God somehow allowed them to suffer hardship. But those who are genuine go through the hardship, and they are tested and refined in their faith, and they come through stronger and more believing, and this is most important, more in love with Jesus. I like that, don't you? More in love with Jesus. Then he says, buy white garments, righteousness, right? He says, be clothed with white garments. This is a genuine righteousness. A genuine righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a type of faith, type of righteousness, type of garment that covers up our shame, covers up our guilt, covers up our sin. It's the genuine thing. I've come to Christ. I believed upon him. He has clothed me with his righteousness. My shame is done away with. He no longer looks at me as a sinner, but he looks at me as a Christian, a child of God. He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve. Can I tell you this? Let the Holy Spirit open up your eyes so that you might see Jesus more clearly and that you might see yourself more clearly. That you might see Jesus as he's revealed in Scripture, and that you might see yourself more accurately, that you might see yourself as God sees you. Oh, how we need that, don't we? We need to see ourselves accurately. Spiritual discernment. Search me, O God. The Bible says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith. The only way that we can examine ourselves is if the Holy Spirit opens up our heart to ourselves, because if left to ourselves, we will be deceived by our own thoughts concerning ourselves. Every man is righteous in his own eyes. Every man is faithful in his own eyes. Every man is rich and have need of nothing in his own eyes. But oh, when the Holy Spirit takes the word of the Lord and searches the deep recesses of our heart, it's like the candle of the Lord searching out all the dark places. Suddenly we see how naked and wretched and poor and blind we are without Jesus. Oh, that we might have more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Anoint your eyes. Put on that garment. How important it is, right? Buy true gold that's been tested and refined in the fire. He tells them in verse 19, be zealous and repent.
Until a light turns on, Pastor Aaron, you really don't know what you're dealing with. You know, when I was a kid, I was spending the night at my friend's house, and it was like 2 a.m., and he said, hey, you want to go explore my grandparents' old house? And I'm like, oh, that sounds scary.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's a farmhouse down the street. Nobody lives there.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, let's go.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember exactly why, but we decided to first enter into the basement from the outside. And it was one of those like doors where you pull it open and steep stairs down.
Yeah, the old cellar door.
Yep. Michigan basement.
Yeah.
We're down in there. We walk down in there. We're scared. And he's like, I know there's a light switch around here somewhere. I got to find it. And so he leaves me to find the light switch. And it's so dark, you can't even like see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I found it. And he flips on the light switch. And like a foot from my face is a dead, petrified cat.
What?
Laying on a beam.
Oh my gosh.
Laying on a little ceiling beam, basement ceiling beam. I mean, right there by my face. And it's like scary as can be. It just sat there and died.
Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Until that light turns on, Pastor Aaron, you don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that with our own personal lives. That's true. You don't really know how truly wretched and sinful and bad you are until that light turns on. The light named Jesus is the only light I know.
Yeah.
Everything else is darkness. And I remember when the light turned on for me, and I'm sure you remember when the light turned on for you. And I would say once the light turns on, that's it. It doesn't go out.
Yeah, it doesn't turn off.
It doesn't turn off. And it just shines the light. It shines the light, and it exposes things, and it shows things, and it reveals the things you don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was better off with that light off in the basement. Seeing that cat freaked me out. It scared me and my heart leapt out my chest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's what happens when the light turns on sometimes. Mm-hmm. You kind of see some things, but we need that to catch fire for God sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. It's that light, and when that light turns on, when it does come on, when Jesus does reveal to you, man, like you said, like Pastor Tim said, man, I am a wretched, sinful man, and I am in desperate need of a Savior. And when He comes in and begins to transform and take over and become Lord of your life, it will radically change how you live. It will put a fire in your belly that, man, I can't go back to this darkness anymore. I crave the light. I want to be close to the light. I want to shine this light out to others. Mm-hmm. And I love Jesus said in the Gospels, He said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
But then He also said, you are the light of the world.
Mm.
And when the light comes into us, we have an opportunity to shine that same light to other people.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We'll be right back here tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Best day of the week.
Best day of the week.
Friday's coming, and I can't wait.
Come on.
All right, we'll see everybody tomorrow morning.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.